Okay, so thanks for coming. So this is the part that I left out from my previous seminar because of the lack of time. Because there is a lot of connection with Felipe's work, I thought that it would be interesting to hear the story again. But I will warn you that there will be a lot of overlap with Felipe's talk. So I'll try to say it in my own words and with my own perspective. Maybe it's a different perspective than Felipe. Also, okay, this is not an excuse, but I found out about Felipe's paper 2 or 3 weeks ago, thanks to John. So we were not aware of this paper, we reached the same conclusion, which is nice. And now maybe from two different perspectives, something different could come out. Okay, so this is a work that we are doing with two of my students, Adam, Brendan, and with a colleague, Alessandro from Belfast, Augusto Roncalia, that I visited in Buenos Aires during my sabbatical, and Mauro Antezza in Montpellier, that is coming later, and Gabriele Langi from São Paulo. Okay, so the motivation, so the title is this Reconciliation of Local Master Equations with Thermodynamics, and so there has been a lot of debate on whether one should use the local master equation or the global master equation. So local in the sense, so if you have an interacting system with different parts, we have heard this already, whether the jump operator should be the local ones, or actually one should look into the total Hamiltonian, find the eigenstates of the total Hamiltonian, and then derive the jump operators from the total Hamiltonian. This in some cases, like in many body systems, if you want to calculate transport properties of many body systems attached to buffs, it's not a practical thing to require the calculation of the total diagonalizing the total Hamiltonian, and this might be not very practical. So the local master equation has a lot of is attractive for this reason. But the problem with this is that sometimes it doesn't work. And okay, one of the papers, probably not the first one, was by Ronnie and Amican Levy that pointed out that local master equations can lead to inaccuracies, to inconsistencies with thermodynamics. Okay, maybe I'll summarize then the findings. So in my opinion, because the local master equation is a complete positive map, there must exist a microscopic model that realizes this. And therefore, everything in this realization of the CP map of this quantum channel must be unitary and must fulfill quantum theory. And therefore, if one takes into account all the costs associated with the microscopic model, there shouldn't be any inconsistency with thermodynamics. So, of course, different maps correspond to different physical properties, and if one has in mind a sort of caldera-Leggett model, etc., these local master equations do not correspond to these caldera-Leggett models. So this is a bit the message. But anything that you can write as a CP, I think that everything that you can write as a CP map must be possible to be realized with an engineered experiment with a microscopic model, and which is consistent with the thermodynamics if you take into account all possible costs into the realization of this experiment. So this, I don't know if this is provocative enough to raise your attention, but in any case, this is it. Okay, so now down to the maths and the results. So the model is this in this paper by Levy and Kozlov. This is an EPL from 2014. So it's two oscillators that are coupled, and they are in contact with two reservoirs at two temperatures, T1 and T2. And for simplicity, I will assume that T1 is the cold bath and T2 is the hot bath. And so I'm assuming that T1 is smaller than T2 without loss of generality, of course. And I'm assuming that this has a frequency omega 1 and this has a frequency omega 2. So each oscillator is described by Hamiltonian HI, which is omega I, A dagger I, AI. and that the total Hamiltonian of the system, let me call this H12, is H1 plus H2 plus epsilon A dagger 1 A2 plus A1 A dagger 2. Now, just a comment on this interaction. For mechanical systems, this is a weird interaction, because you can think of this as something like XX plus PP, okay, with some factors, okay? So here there are some square root factors. And so for people working in with mechanical systems, say trapped ions or neutral atoms or mechanical systems like mechanical oscillators and so on, this sort of interaction is weird. It's not a very common one. And but the origin of this inconsistency with thermodynamics is this one here. I'm not 100% sure, but I don't think that you get this effect from only X1, X2. So it was crucial in this model that you had this term. So you can get the same inconsistency if you only use P1, P2. Okay.
It seems that the term the X1, X2 plus P1, P2 is correspond to the X1, X2 plus the rotating wave approximation.
Yes. So, yeah. Yes, exactly. But if you use only X1, X2 and you don't do the rotating wave approximation, I don't think you get the thermodynamic inconsistencies. Okay?
I would bet that
you do as well? Okay. I'll check. I mean, this is something that, so we are preparing the paper, so I'll check this point. I think it's important. I'm convinced that this comes from this or after doing the rotating wave approximation. Another thing I wanted to say, so this in quantum optics is very common because it's a beam splitter interaction. So it's not so difficult to imagine that situation there. Right. So then we assume without any justification, we assume now the local mass regression. So this means that we have seen this already. So this is the mass regression for the reduced density matrix of oscillators 1 and 2. So this is minus I H12 rho 1, 2, plus sum of I 1 and 2. And then you have gamma I n I plus 1. Limbed operator of rho 1, 2 plus gamma I and I limbed operator AI dagger of rho 1, 2. So this limbed operator, as usual, so L sigma of rho is 2 sigma rho sigma dagger minus rho sigma dagger sigma.
F. I equal to 2.
Right, so because the Hamiltonian is biquadratic in A and A dagger, the jump operators are in A and A dagger, I can solve, if the initial state of the system is Gaussian for the two oscillators, it will remain Gaussian according to the density to the mass equation. So, for example, if I am looking for the steady state of the system, when this is zero, I can look for a Gaussian state, and therefore I can use the covariance matrix formalism, so I only need the first two moments of the position and momentum operators. So I'm assuming that I have a Gaussian state, and this means that I only need to work in the covariance matrix. And with the covariance matrix it's great because I reduce this master equation of an infinite Hilbert space, I reduce this to a finite dimension. There is a dynamical equation for the covariance matrix that if you want I can write, but I'll skip these details, but it's good to know. The matrix equation of the covariance matrix is only 4x4 dimensional, so something numerically trivial, but in this case we can also get analytical solutions, which is nice because the system is infinite. Maybe it's not surprising because everything is Gaussian, so in a sense it is a bit simpler. But what I want to say is sometimes the oscillators can be much, well, not sometimes. Often the oscillators can be easier than the corresponding system of qubits. If I start increasing to 3, 4systems, the oscillator might still be solvable, while the qubit starts to be more complicated.
But this equation, the steady state is unique.
Yes.
So you assume that it's Gaussian, you find that it's Gaussian, and you know that it is Gaussian.
So if you start from an initial Gaussian state and you evolve.
Yeah, but you want to compute the steady state.
Yes.
For whatever initial condition.
Yeah, I'm saying that any initial condition will get you to the same steady state. And if you started from a Gaussian state, you will get the same steady state, and therefore it's Gaussian, I don't care. Good. Right, so when I do this, I compute the energy in the steady state of the first oscillator. So this is the expectation value in the of Hi, H1, in the steady state. And when I do this, I find the following. One something I didn't say is this Ni. So this Ni bar are the thermal occupation in the two bars. So this is this. Did I forget something else? No. And then I'm going to define also E thermal of I as omega I half 2 Ni plus 1. Okay, and I'm putting H bar equals to 1. H bars equal KB. Right, when I do this, I find that this is E thermal of 1 plus 8 omega 1 epsilon squared, and then N2 minus N1 divided by delta squared. Yes. And delta squared is omega gamma squared. Oh, here I'm putting gamma 1 equals gamma 2. Equals gamma. Gamma squared plus omega 1 minus omega 2 squared plus 16 epsilon squared. Okay, so and now, so you see it's a very simple formula. There's nothing complicated about this. What you see here is that the steady state energy could be smaller than the thermal energy corresponding to the first oscillator coupled to the cold bus and to nothing else. So if you remove this epsilon interaction, the first oscillator will thermalize to T1 and will have this energy here. The energy in the presence of the coupling could be negative if N2 bar is smaller than N1. So if N1 bar is larger than N2 bar, then E of the steady state, the energy of the steady state, will be smaller than E thermal 1. Okay, and this already is a kind of strange result, because in the absence of the coupling with the second part, this oscillator thermalizes to a certain cold temperature T1. Now we are coupling this to another system which is coupled to a larger temperature, bus, and the result is that this oscillator cools down to a lower temperature. So this is a weird result, because if this is true, then what you can do is that you can couple this oscillator to another bus, which is at a smaller temperature than T1, and because this one is smaller than T1, you can extract heat spontaneously from this coldest bath here. And this will violate the second law.
How do you define the steady state energy for oscillator 1? So you have the...
So from rho dot equal to 0, I found rho steady state. Okay?
Yeah.
And then what I'm saying, H1 steady state is just trace of rho steady state for the two oscillators.
Small h Hamiltonian.
Yeah, so it's the local Hamiltonian. So we already have something weird in this solution. Then we can calculate the heat current. Okay, I started writing in calligraphy. Anyway, so suppose that I have this. I want to calculate the derivative of this, of the local energy of the first oscillator. So this is minus I expectation value of H1 times epsilon A dagger 1 A2 plus Hermitian conjugate. Right, so the other terms will have commutator zero. So the only term that H1 doesn't commute with is this term here. Plus, there will be another contribution from the dissipator from Q dot one buff, I call it. Okay, so this is basically a trace of H1 plus the total dissipator of rho. Right? Yes. And I call this quantity here, I call it the heat current from the second oscillator to the first. So this is the current that is coming, is this heat current here. While Q one buff would be this quantity here. So when I calculate this Q 2 to 1 current, so this is so it's 4 gamma epsilon squared omega 1 over delta, and then I have N2 minus of 1. So then again, depending on the relative sign of N1 and N2, I can change the direction of this flow. But the relative sign of N2 and N1 doesn't depend just on T1 and T2. It depends also on beta 1 and beta 2. So of course, beta I here is one of beta I. And we will see that we can play with the ratio of the frequencies and temperature so that you can change that sign. And actually, okay, it's interesting. So this quantity is half of this quantity. So this is one half gamma E stationary one minus E thermal one. Which is a nice connection. I don't know if there is something deeper behind. So I'm going to erase.
Gabriel, sorry.
Yes.
I'm the super, the biggest expert in master equation in the room. But is this choice unique?
What, which choice?
In the master equation that you choose this n bar I plus 1 and n bar I to. So then you make this choice to respect the local decay bounds.
Yeah.
But is this unique, or you can?
So
well, you have many. So the detail balance is one condition, but you have many choices to satisfy the detail balance.
So if you assume that you have one oscillator coupled to an ensemble of harmonic oscillators in equilibrium with a good spectral density, you get that master equation for one oscillator. Here now we are using the one for two oscillators without any justification. Yet.
When you put simply Boltzmann factor, you get the same result.
Absolutely. The Boltzmann factors are there. So if you connect these two, you get the Boltzmann factors.
Okay.
So if you call this gamma hot or gamma cold, gamma hot, the ratio between two is proportional to the Boltzmann factor. Okay, so some comments. First of all, is not so this result is apparently inconsistent with the zero flow. Because if you put T1 equals to T2, but omega 1 larger than omega 2, or say omega 1 different from omega 2, then N1 would be different from N2, and you will have that the steady state energy of one oscillator is not the thermal energy, and the heat current between the two oscillators is not zero. So you're already violating the Zero's law. Thanks to Luis for the comment. Then you are not satisfying the first law, because if you compute this current from the dissipator, you actually find a different result. So these two currents are not the same in this model. Then, okay, I can put numbers or not. Then you don't satisfy the second law, because as I said, you can have spontaneous heat current from the cold to the hot reservoir if you play with the frequencies. Am I talking about this now? No, I'm talking about this later. But it's basically the condition is for N1 bar to be larger than N2 bar with T1 less than T2, you need that T1 over omega 1 is larger than T2 over omega 2. Okay, if you do the maths like this, you will find this, which of course reminds you of the Otto efficiency being necessarily smaller than the Carnot efficiency for your Otto engine to work. So it's a similar condition that you will find if you work into the single ion engine or a single harmonic oscillator engine. So it's a nice connection. Right, there is another thing that one violates, and it's a theorem by Martinez and Paz. And this is a PRL from 2013 that says that it's not possible to design an autonomous refrigerator with linearly coupled harmonic systems. So you take a network of harmonic oscillators. Some of them, you call them the hot bus. You prepare them in a hot temperature. Some of them, you prepare them in a cold temperature. You may have more bus. And then there is a working substance. These are other oscillators. At time t equal to zero, you couple them. It's impossible to refrigerate one part of the network, okay? With an autonomous, with a time-independent Hamiltonian. Here, what we are saying is that if this bath could describe the Caldera-Leckert model where this is an ensemble of harmonic oscillators, we would violate this theorem, okay? And we will see that this is actually not true, but you know already the reason why from Felipe's talk. So if you see now this process as control collisions with external units, you will see that you have to put a time-dependent Hamiltonian, so in the end we are not violating this.
But for this you need three paths to have the autonomous refrigerator?
No, they are saying it's not possible.
Yeah, but
we linearly coupled, it's not possible. The three bus oscillator is not linearly coupled. You have this cubic interaction.
But an autonomous refrigerator with two bus is impossible by the second law, not by
okay,
the
okay. Theory. But in any case, not even with two bus, with any number of bus and any number of oscillators is possible. So the absorption refrigerator with harmonic oscillators must be, according to this theorem, must be with three oscillators with this ADAGA-BC interaction. You cannot have this with harmonic interaction. Okay. Good. So now we go to reconciliation of these, but I'll try maybe to go fast because you have seen Felipe's talk. So the idea is to find a microscopic model. And for a microscopic model, what we do is that this is our system, and then what we do is that we send a beam of cold particles at temperature T1. So these are harmonic oscillators repair the temperature beta 1 and with the frequency omega 1. And then I have another beam of particles that are sent to the system, and these are prepared at temperature T2 and frequency omega 2. And what happens is that these particles interact only for a small time tau. Hamiltonian, the interaction Hamiltonian between these units and the systems are something like this. So there is sum of I, gi over square root of 2. No, let me write it gamma I over square root of tau. And then I have a dagger I for the system. And let me say that, let me call bi the annihilation operator for the units, for these flying oscillators. Then from these, if you write H system plus H buff plus H interaction, you calculate U like this. For tau small, you expand this at second order. And because this is a repeated interaction, assuming that the reduced enzymatrix of 1 and 2 at the ends collision is rho 1 2 n, you tensor product with the ancilla or the bus 1, you tensor product with the ancilla of the bus number 2, you calculate the unitary evolution of the whole system, and then you trace over the bus. So this is rho 1, 2, n plus 1. And now if you do the limit of tau, it goes to 0 of rho 1, 2, n plus 1 minus rho 1, 2, n divided by tau, you find the local mass equation. So you find rho dot 1, 2, and this is the local master equation again. So I went fast because you have seen this in Felipe's talk. Okay. Okay, what I wanted to make a comment on these collisional models, I think it would be fair to also cite Scarani and co-workers of 2002. Scarani, Zeeman, Gisan. I think there is Buschek here, and this is a PRL from 2002 when they talk about the homogenization of qubits. No, they were not so much interested in thermodynamics. They were interested in CP maps, in complete positive maps. They were sending one qubit to another in a certain state rho, and they were finding that after this partial swap, the state of the system will become asymptotically close to the state that you send, regardless whether this is thermal or not. So it was very similar. And accidentally, I worked on something similar with two qubits and with two flying qubits, but I didn't realize that at the time I was not interested in thermodynamics. It was not trendy, and I wasn't interested. Okay. And the other thing I wanted to mention is that with this collisional model, you can generate any Lindblad master equation, even time-dependent, even non-Markovian. And there is a general result by Palma and Giovannetti. It's a very heavy paper, but gives you the very general result that a large class of master equations can be generated by this collisional model.
Does that include
the
phasing
on the
as well
in space? Yes. If the interaction is sigma z, you get the phasing. So basically here, if you replace this with an operator vi, I think in Felipe's talk, was it vi or something like this, you get v as a jump operator in your mass equation. So tell me your jump operator, I'll tell you the flying model, the flying qubit or flying oscillator model that you want. And here, the nice thing is, so the result is for flying qubits, when the collisional particles are qubits. And the master equation with the harmonic oscillator, you can also do it with qubits. But because there is a special symmetry maybe of Gaussian systems, you can make it with flying oscillators. You know what I mean? So for example, if you have D-level systems, it's not easy to find a D-level system that is flying so that gives you the right master equation. You have to use still qubits, but for the harmonic oscillators, there is a sort of symmetry. It's because the frequency of all the transitions is always the same, and therefore you need one oscillator, or you can use only one qubit, actually. You can replace this with sigma minus and sigma plus of the qubit, and you get the same master equation. But you have to multiply, in that case, you have to multiply by a factor that depends on n bar. Because from this, from bi, you get square root of ni, and the qubit will not give you this. So if you replace here with the square root of n, I think it's 2n plus 1, the factor, you will get the same master equation with the flying qubits and oscillators. Jeez. Okay, good. So now we compute the work like Felipe did. Okay, and the external work is like this, the sum of I okay, minus epsilon omega I dagger I a I in steady state minus n I bar. So this is a nice formula because it tells you that you need to pay a cost for the agent that is running the master equation. You need to pay a cost that is proportional to the lack of local detailed balance for each of the oscillators coupled to the bus. So this is general. If you have a system of many oscillators that are coupled, okay, and that some of them are coupled to some temperature, T2, and here you have T3, et cetera. And this is described by a local master equation. I don't care about what is inside in the Hamiltonian network, I don't care. The formula for the total work, the external work required, will be this, where the sum runs across the oscillators coupled to the boundaries, coupled to the external bus. Okay, so this is general. And in this particular case, so this is, by the way, this is computed like this. This is just the energy balance of the system oscillator, the system oscillators and the two flying qubits. And this is minus delta UA. So this is computed like this, dot. And in this particular model, this comes to this formula. So 8 gamma squared, gamma epsilon squared, and 1 minus n2, omega 1 minus omega 2, divided by delta squared. And now you can see already that if n1 is different from n2, you need to pay this this external work to run the master, the say, to generate this process described by the master equation. And so when we are in the limit, the refrigeration occurs in this limit, okay, where n1 is larger than n2, t1 is smaller than n2. I'm extracting heat from the cold reservoir. And I can compute this coefficient of performance of the refrigerator, okay? How? So this is the heat extracted from the first bus.
What? This is auto.
Yeah.
You could see from the line above it's auto.
We should have done like a more with the audience, some drama. Yeah, so we compute this extracted work from Q dot 1. divided by the external work, and we get, so this is omega 2, am I saying it right? Omega 1 divided by omega 2 minus omega 1. See, like this? Yes, which, as Ronnie said, this is the coefficient of performance of a Notto engine operating as a refrigerator. Now, why is this? So my opinion is that there is a conversion of excitations from omega 1 is the larger is the small frequency. So for this to be true, omega 1 must be smaller than omega 2 T1 over T2. Yes. So there is a conversion of cold photons, a small frequency from omega 1, to hot photons at frequency omega 2. And this sort of conversion is similar to what you do in the heat engine, in the Otto engine for the single harmonic oscillator. With the compression expansion, you are converting photons or excitations from one frequency to the other. And the kind of optimal efficiency for doing this is Otto. And this is why I think that this is related here. Although here, remember, there is nothing time dependent in the system itself. There is something time dependent at the level of the bus, but not at the level of the system. Okay. And a comment is that in this case, you cannot extract more work from the outgoing oscillator. We tried because we thought, okay, maybe we can beat Otto, but we can't. So these are passive with respect to the beta 1 and beta 2. So you cannot do anything else from the outgoing ancillas. Right, some comments I raise here. I'm almost done. So in the limit of epsilon going to zero, this work goes to zero. Okay, which is nice because it means that in the limit, when these two are not coupled, I don't have to add any power for the thermalization. This oscillator will thermalize at T1, this oscillator will thermalize at T2, and no work will be required for this. The second comment is that this this work is of the order of epsilon squared. And if you look in into these papers comparing local and global master equations, so this is Offer and Tal, 2017, and the other one is Gonzalez, 2017, and I think there are no more authors of this at the program, Luis. But Luis heard from me this is, already, so this is why he's not here. So many of the, Geraldine was here, and Marti was here, etc. Many of the authors are there. So in those papers, they are comparing the global and local master equation. And they found that in the local master equation will have errors of the order of epsilon squared. And this heat current that we find and the external work that we find is of order epsilon squared. So we are in agreement with them because we are saying there is this effect. If you think that the local mass equation is an approximation of the global mass equation, you should discard this heat current generated. My view on this is that because we demonstrated the microscopic model of this process, even if epsilon is large, there is no inconsistency. This heat current is real, and you have to pay an energy work, an energy cost of the order of epsilon squared. Okay. Before I was commenting that it's bizarre, this thing, because you are sending cold particles on the left, you are sending hot particles on the right, and the heat goes like this. Okay, we are paying for this, but this for me is still bizarre that the direction is like this.
Just a question. So this omega 1 and omega 2, these are actually the frequencies of the flying units. It just happens that they choose them to be the same as the frequencies within the chain, because if you choose them to be, I don't know, omega star 1 and omega star 2, it would be omega star 1 and omega star 2 that would enter there. Is that right? I mean, if I took n qubits, I would still get that result, or n oscillators on my chain, I would still get that result, right?
I have to
at
check.
At least if it's like the XX chain of...
I think so. It might be true.
Is it true?
For oscillators, I don't know. For qubits, it's like this.
Yeah.
Right, then, so this is number three. First law is safe, so delta U 1, 2 is equal to Q dot 1 plus Q dot 2. So these are the energy balance of the ancilla number 1, energy balance of ancilla number 2, and this is minus the external work. So in steady state, this is 0, so first law is safe. Otto we described, and then there is the other limit, and this is when, so refrigerator is when that is satisfied, I erased it, so this is refrigerator, then there is the other, which is this, omega 1, and omega 1, T2 over T1. So this is engine. This is a refrigerator. And in this case, in the engine, again, the efficiency is 8. And then there is another regime, and we didn't find a nice word, a nice name for this. So this is when omega 2 is smaller than omega 1, T1 is less than T2, and N1 is less than N2. We have Q dot 1 smaller than 0, Q dot 2 larger than 0, and Wx less than 0. So we are not extracting work. So this is this. So we have a working substance. This is our T1 and T2. So we have this, we have this, and we have this. So there is heat coming from the hot bath, there is external work coming from the external agent, and they sum to go to the cold bath. So Michele Campisi called this an accelerator. I thought that this is like an oven, but Felipe was not happy with the oven. So we said that, so we agreed that this is a microwave, wait for it, combi oven. So you know this, no? When you have your microwave, you can put only microwave, but you can also put the grill. So the grill is this, because it's just giving heat. You are putting current through the resistor, and you're generating heat from the hot reservoir. The external agent is doing mechanical work to speed up the process, okay? And this is the microwave oven. So both of them support the, how you say, the defreezing of the defrosting of the cold meat, okay? Of the cold.
But this stays in the meat.
What?
This stays in the meat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not beer. It's not the refrigerator. Okay, and the last two things, and then I'm done. This was this. So for qubits, we have a similar formula. And this is sigma plus I, sigma I, or sigma, it could be sigma z. Sigma z I in steady state minus sigma z. Sigma z I in thermal state, and this is Felipe. And then for D-level systems, suppose that we have a certain system with D-levels, and that so this is epsilon I, and this is a certain level n and n plus 1. So I indicates where you are on the network, and n indicates the level in your D-level system. So in this case, the although it's not easy to find the steady state, we can still find the external work. And this is I for the boundary qubits, and then epsilon I n plus 1, and epsilon I n. OK, and here you get e to the minus beta I epsilon n plus 1 I. And here you have, so let me write this p n I minus e to the minus beta I epsilon n plus 1 I p n I, p n plus 1. So P and I is the probability of finding the steady state in the state I. Yes. Right. And again, from this, you see that you have, if you have detailed balance for each of these transitions, local detailed balance, then you don't have to pay any work. As soon as you violate this local detail balance, there is an external work needed to run the master equation. Right, and the last comment, that we computed the entropy production, but this is in agreement with Felipe and Massimiliano, so there is no worry there. And I think with this, I'm done. Thank you.
you commented that you get the master equation with oscillators or qubits, and the work and heat also are the same with oscillator and qubits?
So you mean the system is two oscillators, but the flying is qubits. Yes. We get the same. So maybe this is a moment where I can highlight this. We think that what we find is optimal, because in some sense we find auto-efficiency. So we think that this is optimal. You can find other microscopic models that will give you less efficiency or that you have to pay more work. We don't know exactly. We haven't proven rigorously that this is the optimal result, but we conjecture that this must be it. Yeah. Yes?
Yeah, I have a comment, but it needs some the peaks, and maybe it could be useful because it can save some of you from unnecessary work. Maybe you can make this model completely autonomous without any time dependence. And this is a construction, it is a kind of folklore, but it was used, say, in 70s, 80s to produce the dilation of quantum dynamical semigroups. So simply the construction of large physical system which reproduce exactly the given master equation by tracing over the degrees of freedom. So, for example, I write on one piece of this. You can make this model continuous in the sense that, for example, harmonic oscillator, which has, you can first treat this as a kind of lattice of harmonic oscillators, yes. And then you can make it continuous into the field. And then you may have evolution there, which is a shift along this infinite line. And the coupling, which is very local, is described essentially by Dirac delta, but it's a well-defined Hamiltonian like Dirac delta potential in standard quantum mechanics. And this is a completely autonomous model, which reproduces essentially any master equation.
It's like contact interaction.
Like contact interaction, yes. And mathematics is well-defined. And now the question, what is wrong with the thermodynamics of the system? shift. Shift operator added to Hamiltonian possess unbounded spectrum from below. It's a whole line, it's a spectrum. So this system has no stable ground states.
Yeah.
So whatever you do, there's something.
There's something wrong.
Something wrong.
Thanks.
So just a clarification, you have all these fun features, but those are specific to this beam splitter interaction between two outsiders? Or is there any, you said that it was kind of a strange couple in between the two.
Between these two or between the bus?
Those two.
Between these two, I think, I think this comes from the P1, P2 term. So I know for sure that, so this we calculate because it's not difficult. Mm-hmm. So if your interaction is like this, minus A1, A2, mm-hmm. we don't get any refrigeration. We always need to pay regardless of anything, and there's no refrigeration in this case. So I think it really comes from this beam splitter or rotating wave interaction, whatever you want to call it, exchange interaction.
You don't get other violations.
With this, maybe, but not the refrigeration.
For the qubits, for the bath, you take also qubits?
We take qubits for each transition.
Qubits with spacing of each
of these? Yeah, exactly. So we take, for each of these transitions, we take a qubit. They have the same spacing. We simplify here a bit. I'm going to tell you. So we assume that, that the system has only, can jump from n to n plus 1 and not higher jumps, okay? So this transition is not coupled to this transition. You can do that, then you need a qubit for this transition as well, okay? And then we made the more sophisticated calculations with Gabriel Langi, and he looked into the eigenoperators of the system, and in that case, you need a jump operator for each of the eigenoperators of the Hamiltonian. So in that case, and you need a qubit is sufficient. Okay, thank you. Thank you for coming.